On January 27th, 1980, only 2 months before he was murdered, Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador referred to the gospel we hear today. Archbishop Oscar Romero says, and I quote, "In the most sublime homily ever given, Christ closes the book and says, 'These things have been fulfilled today.' This is what a homily is, saying that God's word isn't a reading about times past, but a living and spiritual word that is being fulfilled here today." My friends, Archbishop Romero did this and died for it because he was doing what we hear Jesus doing in his hometown synagogue at Nazareth, helping people understand the today, the now implications of the biblical word. Last Sunday, the gospel proclaimed how Jesus was approved by the people, but not for long. At first, as you hear in the gospel proclamation, the people respond favorably to the announcement that Isaiah's revelation is fulfilled in their hearing. But then it's like second thoughts enter their heads. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They say they know Jesus and his family, at least they think they do. But all of a sudden, the mood changes. Jesus knows their hearts are not open to his message. They want Jesus to do a flashy miracle to show off his powers, not someone who would challenge them to live differently, to love unselfishly and wholeheartedly. Jesus doesn't work miracles on demand, because miracles, my friends, are an invitation to a deeper faith. But the folks in Nazareth aren't yet on the path of faith. So when Jesus tries to make the people face the truth and consequences of their own scriptures and his own ministry, his explanation doesn't go over very well. What Jesus says to the people changes their acceptance and excitement into anger and rejection toward him. For the Israelites, these were fighting words. And then Jesus rubs salt in the wounds by identifying himself with two of their favorite prophets, Elijah and Elisha, which infuriates the people even more. And they ask the question often asked of someone who dares to speak out for God: "Who do you think you are?" And Jesus faces such opposition that the people of the town try to kill him by throwing him off a cliff. But Jesus slips away. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus says to us in the Gospels and what he says to his followers isn't always comfortable. Jesus is always trying to stretch us, to extend our reach. And there is pain and even fear in us when that is done. And that is as true today as it was true back then. And our first reading from Jeremiah shows prophets are seldom popular. Prophets tell hard truths and make people confront unpleasant realities. Prophets don't hire pollsters or commission focus groups. Their power and authority comes from God, not from popular opinion. It's generally true that real prophets seldom find acceptance among their own. For example, the pacifism of Dorothy Day was long an embarrassment to the hierarchy. Archbishop Oscar Romero was hated not simply because his advocacy on behalf of the poor, but because he was seen as turning away from the upper classes, which felt the church was their own. Yet these two prophets were living embodiments of Paul's hymn to love and have finally received that worldwide honor once denied them. My friends, standing up for what is right, speaking out for such things as ethics and justice, are the call of the prophet. To speak and to listen as a prophet demands courage and conviction to confront exactly who we are and our need for change and recreation in the love of God. Yes, there will be those who rise up and attempt to expel us from our own homeland, from our own community. Some will push us to the edge of our capacity to love, attempting to provoke us to deny and denigrate truth in exchange for acceptance. Just like Jeremiah before him, Jesus passed through the fear and anger of others to his own truth and integrity. Today, my friends, we are called to be seekers of truth, both to listen with open hearts to the prophets among us and to speak the prophetic truth ourselves in our homes, our workplaces, our classrooms, and marketplaces. The core of the gospel message is the revelation that God became one of us so that we can better understand who God is and grasp what God is about: love, forgiveness, compassion, justice, peace. As we read the list of love's characteristics in our second reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we realize just how countercultural love is. Our society doesn't encourage us to be patient or even kind. In fact, it admonishes us to seek our own interests, to look out for number one. It applauds pomposity and ego inflation by making icons of movie stars, of sports heroes, and musical artists. We then approve of this by unthinkingly paying tribute at their altars. Brothers and sisters, despite the fact that we all want and need love, it seems so difficult to give it. If we stop for a moment and reflect, we might discover that the people we really admire the most are those who are indeed patient and kind, not jealous or pompous, not inflated or rude, not quick-tempered or brooding. They are people who genuinely love, people after whom we might want to model ourselves rather than make over. They are those people like the Venerable Dorothy Day and Archbishop Oscar Romero who have discovered what love really means, what Paul calls the more excellent way. The message of Jesus, as we know, was that we have to love all people as we love ourselves and God loves us. My friends, we are the body of Christ, as we heard last week. And through love, we can extend ourselves to the hurting parts of the body and help heal them. And with love, we shall never fail. This is the gospel challenge. This is the challenge of St. Luke today. This is the good news. So let us rejoice in it. Amen.